Pion, 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 pion. 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 Pa, 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 pa. Bum, 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 bum. The mood is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight. That's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their song. They practiced all year long. Spirits up, we're here tonight, all night to know. We're simply having a wonderful Christmas time. We're simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris, and it's our responsibility this time of year to give you that earworm. Wonderful Christmas time.
And
this
time, Paul really struggling to reach the notes on that
one. Yeah, Jimmy Fallon's doing a little better on the high notes than Paul these days. But that's from the new, some Christmas album, right?
It's a 7-inch release for Record Store Day.
Ah, okay.
There's 2 7-inch releases, one on red and one on green vinyl. Not the only colored vinyl we'll be talking about.
No. No, but it's just one of them.
I think they're paired with different songs, so.
Oh, okay. Well, it's one of many options you can look for this year. In our last podcast about I Call Your Name, we talked about things that you can buy for us this year. So that's the theme for our annual holiday episode here on I've Got a Beatles Podcast, to run through our favorite and intriguing and sometimes strange different selections that are available for your holiday purchases this year, now that we're past Thanksgiving and the Christmas buying season is in full swing. So this is always one of our fun episodes to do because it's kind of a year-end review as well. You get to look at a lot of different things.
Yeah, I look back on the big releases of the year. Not a ton of big releases, kind of a strange year in that there are actually more Beatles releases, including one just about to be released that we'll talk about first, I think, than solo releases. So,
right.
A real, real, real thin year for John Lennon.
Yes. Very. So, be a very quick John Lennon wrap up here.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the way we run these episodes, we talk about Beatle-related releases, so we'll talk about recordings, books, merchandise, all sorts of things. Then we go into solo Beatles, and then we always have a tradition of talking about two non-Beatle-related issues, which in this case, one is a reissue, and then a non-Beatles-related track, totally. So something we listen to in our other non-Beatle daily lives. So
some best of the year for me. My choice, like the thing I listened to the most this year that was released this year.
But I have to ask, is it on colored vinyl?
No, I don't have that one on colored. Last year I did. My Angel Olsen last year was on purple vinyl. So.
Yeah, very good. All right, so let's dig in here. So as you already mentioned a little bit, gave a little teaser for the big Beatle recording release that's coming out this year very soon, the Beatles Christmas Records vinyl 7-inch box set. And what is this all about?
Reproductions, basically, of the fan club. If you were in the fan club back in the day, you'd receive these in the mail, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They'd ship them to you in the mail, and you get like, here's the Beatles 1964 release. Oh, cool. I'll put it on. I thought it appropriate to play the one from 1967, since that's 50 years ago today. And, of course, this one also has one of the most familiar Beatles Christmas songs. So here's the Beatles 1967 release. We'll play a couple minutes of it here.
Interplanetary Remix, stage 444.
Christmas time is here again. 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 In mountains, you know where. Christmas time.
The boys arrive at BBC House.
What do you want?
We have been granted permission, O wise one.
Pass in peace.
Christmas time is here again.
An audition will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday the 1st in the Fluffy Rehearsal Room. Bring your own.
Next, please. Would over here be convenient for you?
Carry on.
Over here. Are you 30, then?
Next, please.
Get wonderless for your trousers. Get wonderless for your...
All right, so that was the 1967, a little bit from the Christmas Time Is Here Again Beatle Christmas record, which was released, or actually recorded, in May of 67. So right after the Sgt. Pepper album was recorded, and kind of in between that and Magical Mystery Tour. So kind of a elaborate production there, it seems, like a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is these records are fun because it's like that crossover of George Martin comedy recordings.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of knocking on the door and tap dancing and stuff like that.
Different
that,
voices so. And yeah.
Yeah. So now how much is this gonna run me if I want to get these?
Well, as of now, if you want the deluxe Beatle Christmas Records box, it's $73 on Amazon. So, is that going to be something you're interested in?
$70. So I get what, 63 through 69? Is that right?
Yes.
I think that's it. They didn't do one in 1970?
It was such a good year. Yeah.
I think they released one, but it was just lawyers talking.
They were reading lawsuits.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's you get 7 discs.
It was just so. Alan Klein. Yeah.
Sue him.
Alan Klein's Christmas record.
Yeah. So you get 7 of the you get all 7 of them. So there's 7 discs, and yeah, that's what it is, on a flexi disc with the original artwork, 16-page booklet with recording notes and reproductions of the fan club's national newsletters, released on December 15th.
I mean, it's a pretty cool little collector set, I gotta say that.
Yeah. So I don't know, I'm not sure I'm going to buy it, but definitely want to, it's of note. It's been something that people have known about for a long time, but never had an official release, so I guess it's good for that reason. So.
Yeah, excellent for that reason. Now, of course, the big release of the year, huge release on 1 disc, 2 disc, the 4 disc box set, or the 2 disc vinyl. I think there was a 1 disc vinyl too. I don't quite get that.
There's a colored vinyl too.
Oh, yeah, the colored vinyl just came out. For Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, the 50th anniversary deluxe remaster.
Yes, and remix. So,
and remix, yeah.
And if you're a fan of the podcast, you probably listened to our review, which was episode 101 back on June 19th of this year. And we did a lot of discussion about it, talked about the book and all the cool stuff. It was definitely a must for everyone, we decided at that time. And so we played a lot of the songs from it and played some of the bonus tracks or the unreleased stuff that we hadn't heard yet. But we're going to play you right now another example of some of the neat things that you get on that set. And so we're going to hear take 26 of Strawberry Fields Forever.
One, two, three.
To me, let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real and nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields Forever. I think it's not too bad. Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real and nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields Forever.
So, looking back at that set now, what do you have any new thoughts about it, or still feel the same about the Sgt. Pepper box?
I do. I will say I spun it so much right as it came out, I kind of like got tired of listening to it. I'm wondering going forward how much I'm going to dig into the, like, oh, disc three.
Right.
You know? But the two discs will pop up in like playlists I made or whatever every once in a while, and always great to hear.
Yeah.
I think especially great to hear on a good, like in a car or on a good, like really, really good system.
Yeah, or headphones or something. Yeah.
So, you feel similarly?
Yeah, I actually listened to it last night, and as we were going through everything, I was making my list for today, and it is really good. I compared it to the Giles Martin version to the 2009 stereo, and it is definitely different. You can maybe the distance now from not having listened to it makes it even more fresh sounding. So, like, kind of like how we felt when it came out. So, it's a must have. I'm glad we have it, and it's a great. It was kind of a watershed moment for Apple releases because it was so well done, and fans have been clamoring for something for so long, and then they finally gave us something really good.
Yeah. It's great.
So that's pretty much it for the recordings for the Beatles this year. But those are two big things, certainly. And so, speaking of big things, as we move on to Beatle books. Beatle books. We now have, I guess, certainly the biggest in bulk and in proportion and in importance is the longer, unedited or unabridged version of Mark Lewisohn's Tune In. And that's it's running for about $138 on Amazon. What do you think about the expanded version?
Well, I'd love to get it, but I just don't know if I could shell out the dough for it.
Yeah.
There's also a $195 version going on the Fest for Beatles fan website, which I believe has an autographed version of it in a special binder or something like that. Looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Looks amazing. If I had the dough, I would definitely want to take a look at it.
It's 1,728 pages long.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what the process was of editing that down to the already hard to get through, very long, thorough, and very, very valuable.
Exhaustive.
Exhaustive resource, but
he's talked about that in a few interviews that I saw, and I think the one he did with Conan O'Brien, he did talk about how that he had to, that the publisher wasn't going to publish something this huge for a mass market, so he had to do it, and he said it was hard, but he knew that they could publish in England the full version, so at least it wasn't going to waste. So at least there's that, but for a while, this was on. We could not get this in the United States unless you ordered it through Amazon UK. But now it is available. So if you want your $138 version and 1,700 pages for I don't know if you're going somewhere isolated on a desert island for a long time, this would be good to take with you.
Yeah.
Might have to pay to check it, but
I'd like one book to read all of next year.
Yeah. This is it. Yes.
So,
but there were some other Beatle books that you had noticed that you wanted to mention as well.
Hunter Davies, of course, the Beatles biographer, the authorized Beatles biographer.
Yeah.
We've talked about him a couple times on the podcast, I'm sure. He's got a book that came out in October. It's called The Beatles Book. Really easy to remember. And it's divided into four sections: people, songs, places, and broadcast and cinema. Covers every element of the band's history and brings every influence that shaped the incredible Beatles phenomenon vividly to life. I flipped through it a little bit. It looks pretty good.
Hmm.
The hardcover is going for $37 on Amazon right now.
So. Oh, not bad. Not bad.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's good to hear that he's still producing new material. So very good, Hunter Davies. Speaking of new, also, we have the first real biography of George Martin that came out. It's called Maximum Volume, The Life of George Martin, Volume 1. And it's by Ken Womack, who I did an interview with on the podcast. We did it this year, right when the book came out. So you can go back and listen to our interview if you haven't had a chance. And it tells a story that a lot of Beatle fans didn't know about how George Martin came to be and what his early upbringing was like, and tells it very well. So definitely encourage you to do that, because up to this point, George Martin had only done autobiographies and nobody had really, actually studied him from an outside perspective. So in a biography. So Ken Womack's book is well worth a read.
Yeah, here's one called The Beatles, The Band That Changed the World, from Terry Burroughs. It is looks to be through beautiful photographs of the band and of unique memorabilia from their most groundbreaking moments. And it's an unofficial book, but on hardcover for $31, and looks pretty good. A lot of photographs, especially of Ed Sullivan and Shea Stadium, and some of the studio after they were there. So that's kind of interesting.
Cool. And then I've got one more book that we've also talked about here, which is the book by Rob Sheffield, Rolling Stone writer and columnist, Dreaming the Beatles, which some of our listeners were fortunate enough to win. So I hope you're enjoying it. I go back to it every once in a while. It's very easy to read. It's in like 4 or 5 page chapters about songs, about Beatle themes, about people. And well worth a read. It's he makes the case, and we should talk about this sometime, that It's All Too Much is one of the great lost Beatles songs. And I'd be interested to dig into that a little bit more based on what he had to say. So highly encourage you to take a look at that. And if you were one of our winners, feel free to post on our Facebook page what you think of it.
One more I wanted to mention is called the Beatles Recording Reference Manual, Volume 1. It's going to be a four-book series. This goes from My Bonnie through Beatles for Sale. So, and this is Jerry Hammack and Gillian Gaar.
So, that looked pretty good. That's like very detailed stuff about the recordings, right? The recording sessions.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you get Please Please Me with the Beatles, Hard Day's Night and Beatles for Sale, and of course the early weird stuff.
Yeah. Well, very good.
So,
cool. So plenty of things to read for the upcoming year. We also have some Beatle other like non-book or non-recording items.
Now, a good reference for other stuff, like they've got lamps, they've got t-shirts, they've got all kinds of things, and even, which I've mentioned before, Eric Cash art.
Oh, yeah.
Which I love Eric Cash's art. A great resource for that, of course, is the Fest for Beatles Fans site. And they had what were they calling it?
It was an interactive virtual catalog, which you can go to online, and it's cool. You click on an item. Let's say you want the Eric Cash art or something. You just click on the photo of it and an icon, and it takes you right to the page where you can read about it and then buy it. So very easy to get to, very shopper friendly. So
yeah, we like to support them. We've been to a couple of Fest for Beatles Fans. They're of course a great leader of the Beatle fan community. So check it out.
Yeah,
check it out if you're looking for Beatles, particularly t-shirts and things of that nature. That's a great place to go. And of course, you can always go to thebeatles.com, which they've got t-shirts and other types of stuff on there. We usually point out a thing or two, but I didn't find anything too crazy this time.
No. But speaking of crazy,
maybe you're in the mood for some colored vinyl.
I was going to say it's time to move on to Paul McCartney and get some colored vinyl. So, yeah, what is this all about here? All these colored vinyl reissues now that Paul's on Capitol. You can get all the ones that the records that have been part of the reissue series.
Yeah, it's the 8 albums that have come out in the reissue series, I believe. So it would be Ram, Venus and Mars, I think.
Yep. Being
on the Run.
McCartney 2, McCartney, Wings at the Speed of Sound, and Tug of War.
And Pipes of Peace.
Pipes of Peace, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So those are the 8. And they all have a different color on their colored vinyl. And I saw them in the store yesterday, so they're out. They came out for Record Store Day. Record Store Day has 2 different times when they release records. One's like in the middle of the year, and one's on Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So they were there. And so you could get any of those colored vinyl. Or you could get Wonderful Christmas Time 7-inch, also on colored vinyl, either a green or a red, and that they have different. The B-side are different artists.
Mm-hmm.
So all those in stores. I don't think I'll be picking any of them up, but I took a look at them just to see the Capitol Records.
Yeah,
like it's real.
It is.
He really has switched over to Capitol Records, so
that's good. Cool. Yeah, and then of course the other big part of that series this year was the Flowers in the Dirt reissue, which happened earlier in the year, and that was a big revelation because you and I have been fans of that album for a long time since it came out, and also we were excited by the Elvis Costello demos and all the extra stuff that was on there with Elvis Costello. And we're going to play, before we talk about it a little bit, speaking of Elvis Costello, we're going to play the My Brave Face demo that was included on that set, which this song, of course, was a Elvis Costello and McCartney co-collaboration.
Hey, over to you.
I've been living in style. accustomed as I am to the luxury life.
So what did you think about the Flowers in the Dirt set when it came out?
Yeah, I think we gave it a pretty good review. The weird downloads aside.
Controversy.
That whole controversy, I think it came off pretty positive. It was great to hear it again. I think we were a little bit surprised in our memory that maybe the album was a little better than it in reality.
Yeah.
But all these demos really added value to the package. So the special edition and the especially the box set, I'm sure, is great. I've never bought any of those, but I saw them in the store too.
Yep.
So they're still in stores. So
yeah,
it'll be a great gift for people if they're McCartney fans.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
Now, if you go to the Paul McCartney website. Of course, Something's Pretty Awesome, which is a couple of these weird gifts. He's always got some strange stuff up there. One of the featured items this year is the Wonderful Christmas Time tea towel.
Oh,
and you can also get a Wonderful Christmas Time Christmas card set.
Ooh, so, that's neat.
Both pretty good. And they've added a lot of Flowers in the Dirt shirts this year.
Oh.
One with a swan that looks pretty cool. And a couple of products, I think like a tote bag that says, I'd rather be listening to McCartney, which was one of the cards that was in the original Flowers in the Dirt set, I believe, with the flowers on the bottom and the top of it. So if you're into weird McCartney stuff like I am, maybe that Wonderful Christmas Time tea towel is the way to go.
There you go. So we're going to breeze right over John Lennon because there's really nothing to report that we could find this year that's significant. So we'll move on to George Harrison then. George had a couple of releases this year, and you and I really didn't talk about them too much because one was a big vinyl reissue of all the solo albums, which was very expensive. And then the other one was the I, Me, Mine extended edition book reissue.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious. And then there's also one more that I'm going to let you talk about. One more very expensive item, too.
Yeah.
So what did you think about the George releases this year?
Well, I was mildly disappointed with the I, Me, Mine. I purchased I, Me, Mine, the extended edition. And it was a little pricey, but I thought, well, we're really going to get a lot of stuff. Now, it's got, if you like looking at lyrics in the handwriting of the artist who created them, then you're in for a treat.
Yes.
Because there is quite a bit of that. And I liked that they released that and the vinyl collection box set at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
However, the vinyl collection box set's $450 on his site. And it really skimps on the extras. What we were looking for is like a full couple of discs. Like all of these Bowie releases, they have like a full disc worth of like extras and stuff. This one, the extras were a couple of 7-inch, you know,
yeah,
discs. So, but you did get everything: Wonderwall Music, Electronic Sound, All Things Must Pass, Living in the Material World, Dark Horse, Extra Texture, 33 1/3, George Harrison, Somewhere in England, Gone Tropo, Cloud Nine, Live in Japan, Brainwashed on vinyl for probably the first time, I guess, and When We Was Fab and Cloud Nine singles, single picture discs. So pretty comprehensive, pretty good. So that was 450. But you need something to play those on. So you're probably going to purchase, shell out $499 for the George Harrison Project turntable, which is a turntable especially made for George Harrison. It's got a picture of him, the same picture that's on the book. Project is a turntable manufacturer, and they do make a very strong product, a diamond cut aluminum drive pulley, and a belt dive with synchronous motor and silicone belt. Ooh. The chassis made of resonance insensitive MDF. So if you're a real snob for vinyl, we've got a couple vinyl snobs that are fans of the show. You know, maybe you want to get this. It's beautiful looking turntable.
Yeah.
But $500.
So for $1,000, you can get all of George's records and the turntable.
and the book, and read the lyrics while you're. Yep. Wow. So I'm glad they all came out. I just, the prices of them are so high, it's just hard to.
Really prohibitive.
A little prohibitive, hard to purchase them.
Yeah.
So that was George's releases. Those were earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm. And finally, that leaves us with Ringo. And Ringo, we spent a podcast episode on his new album, Give More Love, which we had a lot of fun talking about. I think we liked it for the most part. There was some good tunes, some hilarious things, some McCartney histrionics.
McCartney's on a couple songs, and we'll go out with one of those tunes at the end of the show.
Yeah, so pretty positive overall. Anything else from Ringo?
Nothing else from Ringo. I think you can get a couple t-shirts and stuff. And, of course, I do want to mention Ringo is touring. Nothing close to me.
Or me.
So I'm not going to any of his shows, but you can go see Ringo if you have the ability to do so. Now, we said nothing from John, of course, like you said, but and this sort of transitions us into Beatle-related stuff. Those Yoko vinyl releases came out this year.
Yes, I know everybody's been clamoring for those.
Well, this is the second set of them, and I would say these are her three best albums.
Maybe at least accessible ones, yes.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. And this is, of course, Approximately Infinite Universe, Feeling the Space, and Fly. So I thought we'd play a track from Approximately Infinite Universe that has a pretty cool John Lennon guitar on it called Peter the Dealer.
Good morning, here's your breakfast, and give us plates of stone. Takes a pint of blood each from us to give to the poor. We count the windows in the cities and tell each other this life is a hell of a lot of waiting time.
Ooh, so some good John Lennon guitar playing there from on Yoko's album. I don't know if that was recorded. That was around the same time as Sometime in New York City, I think. Is that same period?
Yeah. And the third of those albums, Feeling the Space, was during the time they were broken up.
Yeah.
And so, but it still got some some contributions from Johnny Ocean. which is...
Oh, hmm. I wonder who that is.
I don't know who that might be. But all three of them are pretty good, and I want to say these were released, and on for some reason, on Amazon, the prices have dropped significantly on them.
Really?
Probably because they're not, you know, people don't give them a chance. But I definitely want to give you the idea that maybe at least give a try to Fly and Approximately Infinite Universe, because I think they're pretty good.
Yeah, and a couple of years ago when we did that Yoko Ono music study, we actually got a lot of comments on that, and some were negative, but a lot of people said they were surprised, so as we were. So I think it's worth checking out some of her music. So, speaking of Yoko, we can also share one of the releases that came out this year by her son, with John. This is the Claypool Lennon Delirium, I think they're called. So, what's your story here on Les Claypool and this duo?
Well, they did an album called Monolith of Phobos or something like that last year that we didn't review and we didn't talk about very much.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Les Claypool guy. Though I do like the theme song to South Park, which he wrote. So this year they released an EP that's pretty interesting called Lime and Limpid Green, which fans of Pink Floyd would recognize as the lyrics from the song Astronomy Domini, which is on this album. They also, and it's a short, it's a, like just an EP. I thought we'd play Boris the Spider, the Who song. So here's a little bit of Boris the Spider. Dave's just glowing because he loves Boris the Spider, I bet.
So,
Boris the Spider.
Yeah, of course, that was a John Entwistle tune from The Who, and I guess maybe that's why Les Claypool is playing it, as maybe a tribute to him being a bass player.
Check it out. It's worth a little listen. I'm not a big fan of that particular Sean Lennon project. Huge fan of Sean Lennon as overall, and he's got a lot of other projects coming up. Maybe we'll do an episode on those as they arrive. Of course, another episode we did very, very, very recently, so we're not going to play anything from this, the Donnie Harrison album. I think that's the big winner as far as like projects that are out there on these Beatle related stuff. We both gave it a positive review, so listen to that podcast and get that album or listen to that album at least on one of your streaming services.
Yes, and then we also have an alum of Wings. We have an album from Lawrence Juber, and it's called LJ Can't Stop Playing the Beatles. And it's pretty impressive, actually. It's just him, and it's his arrangements of various Beatles songs for guitar. And I was very impressed as a guitar player. It's a lot to put that all together. And there are some clips when he was at the Fest for Beatle fans. They posted some videos of him playing, so you could actually watch him as well. But if you like it, it's worth a listen. So LJ Can't Stop Playing the Beatles, Lawrence Juber.
Well, Dave, I'm super duper honored and excited to talk about this next this
of course.
Next thing. And this is Jeff Lynne's ELO. Jeff Lynne's ELO, the Wembley or Bust album and film has come out. You can get it all over Jeff Lynne's ELO website. Also, Jeff Lynne's ELO on tour for the first time in American like 30 years, and yours truly has tickets to go see him in Philadelphia. So I'm really excited. I could play any number of tunes here. All of them are awesome, including a version of Handle With Care. We've played that on the podcast before, I believe.
Yes.
So I thought one of the more unusual ones is, you know, they wrote the soundtrack to Xanadu, the Olivia Newton-John kind of a stinker movie of the 1980s. But it had a great soundtrack. And so I thought we'd play Jeff Lindsay-Alo playing the song Xanadu.
Nobody dared to go. The love that we came to know, they call it Xanadu. And now, open your eyes and see, what we have made is real. We are in Xanadu.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds great. You know, that's a very Beatles song, isn't it? It sounds very much Beatle-esque in its chords and sound. So, and Jeff Lynne, of course, is a huge Beatles fan. So we'll be excited to get a tour report when you come back.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and they've got that on vinyl. It's on DVD, Blu-ray, all kinds of different formats. So check it out. I really like ELO, and we obviously love Jeff Lynne.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah,
he's one of our favorites.
Yes.
So,
all right. So I think that does it for all of the Beatle related releases. So now we'll go on to our other releases for the year, and we'll start with our favorite reissue, non Beatle related reissue of the year, and I'll start with mine, which is the REM album Automatic for the People, which is its 25th anniversary, which is hard to believe. But it was a very, very popular album, very meaningful to a lot of people, including myself, one of my favorites growing up. And in addition to hearing the remastered and album, which had a lot of hits on it, lots of tunes there, there's also some demos and things which are cool. So we're going to play one. It's called Photograph. This was a song that was going to be on the album, and it's Michael Stipe singing with Natalie Merchant, who I've always loved her voice and 10,000 Maniacs. We'll take a listen.
I found this photograph underneath broken picture glass. Your face of black and white, beautiful, haunting sight. Looked into an angel's smile, captivated all the while. From her hair and clothes she wore, I replace her in between. Was she willing when she sat?
Oh, yeah, that is great, Dave.
Yeah, I know you're a 10,000 Maniacs fan.
Well, I was thinking when I heard this. They had another song that was kind of a hit. That Candy Everybody Wants was Natalie Merchant and Michael Stipe.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So pretty good. Yeah, REM's great.
Yeah.
REM's great. I didn't get into a whole lot of their stuff, but a great opportunity to dive back into their stuff with this re-release. So 25 years, it's crazy.
Hard to believe. Crazy. And your album that you chose is not that far off either, right? It's probably from the 90s, isn't it?
It's the 20th anniversary of this one. Now, I had a hard time. I was like, there's been a lot of great re-releases. This new thing where they release an album and then they add two discs to it of extras is just great. They've done it for the Smiths and a couple of other bands. Of course, there's the huge Bob Dylan box set that comes out every year. This time it's his Christian period. But that apparently sounds great.
Yeah.
And Neil Young released that album Hitchhiker this year, which I thought was great because it's like a lost 70s album. So, but I could not pass up the opportunity to play Elliott Smith, his Either Or Expanded Edition. Elliott Smith, if you don't know, you've definitely heard Elliott Smith's music if you've seen the movie Good Will Hunting. But it's such a great musician, such a beautiful music. And this album was his third album, Either Or, 25th anniversary of it. I'm going to play the live version of a song called Pictures of Me.
Start, stop, and start. Stupid acting smart. Flirting with the flicks. You say it's just for kicks. You'll be the victim of your own dirty tricks. You got yourself to tease and displease. Doors swinging wide. You walked into hide. Looking at your feet, failure's complete. Saw you and me on the coin-op TV. Frozen in fear every time you appear.
Very haunting song. I always thought of him as a solo guy. I don't remember him playing with bands too much, or at least the music I always heard was like that. It was solo with guitar. I don't know. Was he known for playing with bands more?
Well, on the records, it's like a band and pretty good. But most of the time he played, it was like solo like that. And it was interesting, the re-release, because he always seemed to be like going back to older songs of his and like changing the lyrics and doing different versions. He was, of course, famously played at the Oscars wearing a white suit.
Oh, yeah.
And played a couple of and he's sort of an unattractive looking guy. Got some negative comments from dumb people, you know, about him. But I think he was a little bit of a tortured soul. But everyone who knew him said he was very sweet and fun to be around, even though it wouldn't seem like that through his music. But I'd say give it a listen, Either Or, the expanded edition.
Well, very good. We'll definitely want to check that out for our final selections. We're going to each pick something that's not a Beatle related release, although mine was in the same town as the Beatles. And this might be a first for I've Got a Beatles podcast, but it's a classical release because in my daily life I teach classical music theory, so I thought I'd play something. And this is a new release by the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra, which has been around for a long time, and I'm very curious if any of the Beatles ever went to hear them. But this is their recording with the violinist James Ennis and conductor Andrew Manns, I think it is. And it's a recording of the third movement here of Beethoven's Violin Concerto. Yeah, so the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra.
Oh, this sounds a great recording.
Yes.
It sounds tremendously good.
Yeah, it does, definitely.
I guess there are a Schubert's on there too, right?
Yeah, it's a Beethoven and Schubert recording, and if you go to Liverpool, go check them out, one of England's great orchestras.
Well, there are a lot of great releases this year. My top few were Laura Marling's new album, the Fleet Foxes' new album's really great, very, very complex. But my top choice this year is a singer called Feist, Leslie Feist, and her album Pleasure. Great album. And I love, love, love this song. I probably played this song more than any other song this year. And it's called Any Party. So there's a little Any Party from Feist. She was on guitar there too, and I heard her talking about the recording of this album. And I feel the same about her previous album, Metals. That's very raw sounding and very emotional rock music. So if you like awesome emotional music, Feist is the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like how it switched from the kind of heavier band, and then it just stripped out just to her guitar and singing. It was really nicely done. So I will check that out. All I know her for is that famous song that was played all the time, the 1, 2, 3, 4 song.
Yeah. So that does it for the year. Dave.
Yes, but we're not done yet, because we'll have another. We're gonna try to get at least one more episode in before the end of the year, so stay tuned for that. And at least for now, we're also going to end today's episode with a little prediction, since we're talking about goodies and all sorts of merchandise and recordings. So what is your prediction for the biggest Beatle related release next year in 2018?
I think, when we debated this before, I think we get White Album, banded version of White Album. Giles Martin produced version. What do you think? Yes,
I would
or no?
Love it. I would definitely love it. I'm still not convinced, though. I still am not sure, but we'll see. It would be great. I'm still holding out hope that something for George will come out, that we'll have another Early Takes Volume 2 or something George-related. I feel like it's we're really due for something. And it's not just re-releasing the same vinyl albums we already have. Yeah. That's what my hope is for next year.
We'll probably not get a Ringo. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if like we're just done with John releases or are we gonna get another greatest hits of John?
Time.
And I don't know if we're gonna get a new Paul or not. I was kind of expecting a new Paul this year, and we didn't get one. So I would hope for a new Paul, but I'm not holding my breath.
No. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But
and I would hope for a new what should the next release be?
Ooh.
Wings Wildlife.
Yeah. Red Rose Speedway.
I know what our fans want.
Oh, they back want to the egg.
Egg.
Yes. Back to the egg.
Yep. I guarantee if Back to the Egg comes out, we will definitely do a Back to the Egg episode.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
cool. All right,
we've got a lot of great episode ideas that you guys sent in that we're gonna try to get to this coming year, and keep us on your dial.
Yep.
Keep us on your Stitcher. Keep us at I've Got a Beatles on your Twitter. Go to our Facebook page and comment. We get some comments. Sometimes they're even slightly negative comments, and that's fine. Well, we can take some. We razzed a little bit with some comments this last time, and we like to hear from you. So,
yes, absolutely. So keep it up and enjoy all these items for your shopping lists for this year. And we're gonna go out with, as we mentioned way back in the episode, the one song I think we didn't play off Ringo's new album. It was called "Shake It Up," and it was in a kind of a '50s style.
Yep, it was. So thanks for listening all year long, and we'll see you soon.
Wake up, baby. Let your love light shine. Wake up, baby. Let your love light shine. When the sun goes down, I'm gonna tell the lucky stars you're mine. Once in a while, you got to throw your dog a bone. Once in a while, you got to throw your dog a bone. Talk to him sweet. Take it out.